Later I become the bishop of that city in the 313 AD. Christianity was declared fully legal by the Emperor Constantine, but nevertheless, Athanasius still faced persecution. Amen. And what was the reason for the persecution? His defense for the faith. In his days, there was this damnable heresy that is called Arianism. And that it was peddled by one man called Arius. And that damnable heresy has to do with the man saying that the Father created the Son. Amen. You know, that's one of the damnable heresies of the Jehovah Witnesses. The belief that Jesus was created by God. So Arius was the first man who peddled that damnable heresy. And Athanasius stood in defense of the faith that Christ was not only in substance equal with the Father, but that in essence he is equal with the Father. In other words, he was also the uncreated creator, just like the Father. Five times Athanasius was banned because of the defense of this same heresy. Amen. 1, 2, 3, five different times. They will banish him from the city because of the defense of that. He wasn't the only Christian in town. There was one man who would not allow that damnable heresy to go without standing against it. May such faith be found in you. Amen. At such a time as this, where many are silenced, even when the word of God is under attack. Amen. When the brother finally died, guess what fellow believers wrote on his tomb? Athanasius against the word. Amen. What a wonderful inscription. I cherish to die in that manner that when I die also it will be written that hear me against the word. The biblical faith that Christ is talking about is that faith that will pitch you against the word. Pastor said something yesterday. I did not know whether you took notice of that. That Luke chapter 18, where the theme for this conference was taken from, that parable was spoken from the backdrop of what Jesus began to say to the disciples in Luke 17. Unless you read Luke 17 from verse number 22, you will not be able to do justice to what Christ was saying in Luke 18. You'll be explaining that parable away until you go back, amen, to Luke 17. And your pastor mentioned it yesterday that when the Bible was first written, it was not in chapters and verses. Those who did meant well. They weren't misleaders. Hallelujah. But the onus lies on us to trace when this statement first began so that we can rightly divide the word of God and understand also the mind of the Father. Are we communicating? Jesus began to say to the disciples in that Luke 17, amen. I think in verse 22, he said to them, amen. Can we have Luke 17, 22, please, on the screen? I want all of us to see, amen, what Jesus said there. He said, then he said to his disciples, the time is coming when you will long to see the day when the Son of Man returns, but you won't see it. Amen. So that parable you are seeing in Luke 18, this is where Christ began the statement that led to that parable. Amen. And beloved, if we stay longer here, and I mean in this world, the time will come also when you and me will desire that Jesus will come. Because it will be extremely dangerous to be identified with him. We'll be haunted like bush rat. Amen. Serious hostility against us. So Christ told them that the way it was now when I was around, I will soon be gone. You will, a time will come that you guys will desire that I am here. Say, but I won't be. It does not mean he will leave them comfortless. He already said in John 14 that I will not leave you comfortless. Another way of saying that is that what? I will not leave you as orphans. It is expedient I go away, but when I go, I will send another comforter. So Christ saying that you will desire to see my days and you won't see it doesn't mean that we will be without help. No. But it is just that we will wish that he's physically here to defend us. You know the way Christ used to defend them while he was around? And you know he said to them when one of those days they came, he said, why come that your own disciples are always eating? The disciples of John, those ones are ever fasting. And Jesus said, leave them alone. The bridegroom is still around. The time will come when they will fast, but that time is not now. And they fasted indeed. Hi. They fasted. But you know one thing I love about Jesus? Even though he trained them that way, when the time came for them to face persecution, also, he trained them in such a manner that when he was around, they ate the wine, they drank. But in the midst of that, he was training them as well to bear the times of trials. That fatherhood. You know when I saw when he was bringing Israel out of, when he brought them out of Egypt, taking them to Canaan. Where was God taking them to? Canaan, Abi. What was that about that land? Flowing with milk and honey. You know how beautiful they described the place? The place where the wells are dug. Amen. With fences, cities, the houses are built. Wonderful place. And I said, God, since that was why, where you were taking them to, why did you take them through dryness? He was taking them to a place of abundance, but he took them through wilderness. He made them suffer hunger. Amen. No. Is it logical? You are taking me to a place of abundance. Then why must I go through dryness to get there? The Lord, what do they need that for? But that is his pattern of fathering. That was how he fathered Christ in the days of his flesh. I remember few years ago, I was crying to the Lord in the house of my friend with whom I was cutting then. It was the day of my wife, my fiancé then, we're still cutting. I was to meet her in Las Potec, Ikorodu for convocation. And I was praying, crying to the Lord that morning. Lord, you said this to me, you said that to me. When? How? I've been waiting for this and all of that. I cried, I was there kneeling down, I won't pray, poured out my heart. And then I was quiet in his presence to hear what he would say to me. Amazing God, humorous Father. And having waited for a few minutes, I didn't hear him speak. Okay, let me go and bath and find my way to where I was going. As I was rising from the place of prayer, then I heard the voice. He learned obedience by the things he suffered. And I said, Lord, did I just hear you? Say, yes, I just spoke to you. And I picked my Bible. I found where it was. Speaking of Christ. I said, Lord, well, you go obey me. With all of my cry and everything, this is your response. I will learn obedience by the thing I will suffer. You know, years later I was contemplating of that. Was there iniquity found in Jesus? Was there disobedience in Christ? Was there rebellion in Jesus? So if anybody should need to learn obedience by suffering, should it be Christ? So if the one in whom there is no sin, that no guile was found in his mouth, if the one that was sinless will need to learn obedience by suffering, how much me that was shaping in iniquity? Hi. So as I look at the scripture, I saw that the destiny of Christ is the picture of the life I am called to live. Brethren, are we still here? The life you are called to live is not different from the life the man of Calvary lived. As you look at him, you see the picture of your destiny. One of the reasons why he came here, it is to show you how your life would be. So you had better begin to look at him very well. So you know what your life will look like. You know, the disciples didn't know what they were in for. You remember that time in Matthew 16? When Peter was rebuking Jesus because he was speaking of his sufferings. How he will go to Jerusalem, how he will suffer many things and then be killed. Isn't it? And as he said that, Peter took him aside and he began to rebuke him.
Amen. Still thinking he was under the influence of the Spirit. Not knowing that now Satan has taken over. You know, he had just declared the word that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Christ commanded that flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. And that he just seized that opportunity as well. And that's why you need to be careful. God can just speak through Yemi now, and demon is speaking through him at the same time. Be discerning. A lesson there. But Jesus discerned that. He said, the first voice was of God. This one is of Satan. And I would want to be able to discern indeed. I'm talking about my death. Somebody said, I won't die. Amen. Is it logical to now say, get behind me, Satan? Because you would think that Satan is actually the one that she wants one to suffer and die. But Jesus said, my suffering and death is the will of the Lord. And you know how much you hate to hear about death now and sickness and all of that. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. But Jesus was rebuking Satan for speaking through Peter that he will not suffer and die. Now, where am I going? As soon as Jesus rebuked Peter, amen. Jesus used that opportunity to let them know that I never know waiting on I enter. That you thought it was only me that will suffer and die. Give me Matthew 16 on the screen. You will see your destiny and mine. You will see it now. Matthew 16 from 21. Amen. From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day, he would be raised from the dead. 22. But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Heaven forbid. Lord, he said, this will never happen to you. 23. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me. Satan, you are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. Then what follow? See what follow? Context. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any one of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way and take up your cross and follow me. What follows? If you try to hang on to your life, is he not showing them that? See, you thought it was only me, the Father, would treat in this manner. He seeks that opportunity to show them that as it happened to me, expect the same. The servant is not greater than his master. Who said that? Say, if they do it to me, excuse me, did they not do it to them afterwards? You read church history. Some of you read how they died. You saw the book of the Acts. What was the experience like? What Jesus told them it would be like. Amen. So I say to us again, friends, that the life of Christ is the destiny of the church. One of the reasons he came is to show us how our lives will look like when we become his follower. Amen. That is how our life will look like. We will be hated. The world will be hostile to us. We should not expect to get the best of treatment on this side of eternity. Why? We are aliens here. We are strangers. This place is not ours. Amen. We are children of God. Who is the enemy of the prince of this world? Your father, my father, your God and my God. The prince of this world is his arch enemy. So because you belong to God, he will fight you. With every power he has, he will fight you. So that's what we are in for. But we know what? Jesus already told us that in the world we will have tribulations. Say, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. But he never lied to us. He didn't tell us that following him will be a bed of roses. And it is good we know this earlier. Because expectation begets preparation. So that you can prepare. So when these things begin to happen to you, it will not remove you from him. Because you know you have been told that this would happen. Pastor mentioned while he was teaching the first session, he already showed us Acts 14. It was as soon as these people believed the gospel
that the apostles returned to encourage them. As soon as they believed, they told them that with many tribulations, we shall enter into that kingdom. That is how it has pleased the Father. Amen. And he will help us home. In the name of Jesus. Our union with him is eternal. And our union together will be eternal. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I promise in the first session, because some of what I would have loved to say has been said already. Amen. By Pastor Linus, Pastor Femi. Amen. So let me quickly use the few minutes I have, because I mentioned during the first session that I'll be showing us the means of grace that God has provided for us to help us to remain in the faith. God made provisions. When he told us of all of these things that will attend to us, he made that's one of the reasons I love him. Amen. He made provisions. So we'll begin to look at those provisions now, trusting that the Lord will give us insight in the name of Jesus. Though one or two of those means of grace have been mentioned, amen, by the other preachers, because what I have here as the number one means of grace is prayer. Prayer. Prayer is the number one means of grace, provision made by God to keep us in the faith. Because as I said, you realize that this parable in Luke 18 came after Jesus had told them what will be happening to them. The persecutions, the troubles, amen, that will come upon them. And as soon as he was done telling them that, he showed them the means. And that means was what we are seeing in that Luke 18. Which is what? Continue to pray and not give up. I will show up. Amen. So the very first means of grace that I have here is prayer. Amen. Consistent prayer. Continue to call on him. Amen. Even when it seems as if his ears are dull to hear, he is hearing. Like I said, I don't need to begin to emphasize on something, because Pastor touched on them. That why would God do that to us? Why would he not just show up immediately? Why will he delay? Our faith must be tried. The genuineness of it must be tried. Not as though God is a man who doesn't know what I am capable of doing. Amen. But he would do it. Like I told you, the first church in the wilderness, that was what he did to them. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, God said, the reason I took you through that wilderness, says it's because I want to see what is in your heart. There was a shorter route, a more convenient route, but I took them through that wilderness. Said the reason I did that, it is to know what is in your heart. Amen. So why would he do that to us? That in the midst of all of these trials and persecutions, will call, and then he is not answering speedily. It is to prove that faith. Whether you will run elsewhere. Amen. Those who believe in him, they've come to their last bus stop. Those who truly believe in him, they do not have any backup plan. Amen. They do not have. That's what my wife asked on her DP. Say, Jesus alone, no backup. Because backup plan. Christ alone. Do you have backup plans in the days of trouble? Do you have somewhere else to run to? Do you have someone else to call upon? Amen. If you do, you will not be able to persist in prayer. How God dealt with some of us, he deliberately caused people not to show us favor. Amen. It's possible my disciple is watching us from home now. The man that God led me to some years ago to go be under him, learn the word of God. You know, as at the time when I met that man, Pojinodu could, I know he could conveniently feed me, pay my tuition as at that time, but he won't do it. No matter how much I complain, tell him this and that, sir, my school fee I've not been able to pay. Even to eat, na wahala. I will see all of that. And though there is money in his hand, apostle won't give me. When it's time to eat, we eat together. The wife will dish our food together. We eat together. Whenever I'm around, the wife dishes our food together. So we eat together. And the things that man will not be tell me before food was ready. It is when food ready. That's when you now begin to discuss serious matter about the kingdom. I say, ah, Irenio. Say, share him more money. What's all this? And sometimes I will see myself, I will just suspend the spoon or the muscle of Eba. Because I know what he's saying. I need it for my life. And he will be eating and talking. Oh God. Men of God. Huh? And when we are done again, I'll be going. He won't give me money. Now, opposite my father's house, there is another pastor there who knew me right from when I was a baby. That one, he doesn't have money. But that one, before I ask him, from the little he has, he will always give me. Sometimes, Pastor Ayo, we collect bread on credit so that I can eat. So in my mind, I was beginning to say, God, why you not give the money to this one? May you come put me under this one. Now you know why you carry me go meet this austere. I don't know where you find this kind of man of God that you put me under. Amen. But you know there is what I've also discovered as divine restraint on those that God has chosen for himself. If not, I would have walked away from that man. But there was a divine restraint. I couldn't, despite that. Then one day, I just left my disciple home again. Hungry that afternoon. I was going back to my local parish then. And as I was going under the sun, all manner of thoughts going on within me. That God, why this, why that, and all of that. And during that period again, he had just compelled me to buy one book. That book. When he asked me to go and buy the book, I went for a program somewhere. The money that should transport me home, he compelled me to use it to buy that book. And I trek home. Thinking he would supply money. Because I've obeyed. Now lie, I trekked a distance. So with anger, I began to read the book. Oh God. Jesus Christ. I began to read. Now, one of the words that the writer of that book is what God looks for in his vessel, written by Gbelia Koni. One of the statements that man of God made in that book was what God used in talking to me that afternoon. While in my heart there was a struggle. As I got to a particular spot, then I heard him said, he said, don't you think the arm of flesh is taking you away from my discipline? And angrily I responded, I said, what have I done again? What have I done again? Now, angrily. But God is a father indeed. Because he knows that I love him. But, it is too much now. He wasn't angry with me. Even though I responded angrily. That what have I done? And patiently, he told me. He said, you see that man giving you bread. That when he no get money, he will collect it on credit. He said, it's not doing you good. He said, it's the arm of flesh taking you away from my discipline. It was that day I understood that Paul Ginodu was not the one refusing to help me. It was God who told him, you don't give him a dime until I say so. Why? He must learn to suffer hunger so that he will not make my people to become bread in ministry. Some of you will have been in trouble if I encounter you today. If God has not done that to me, would I become stone that will turn to bread? But God made us go through that so that our dependency will be on him alone. So that there is no backup plan. That even though we are surrounded with men with money in their pockets, we are not looking at their pockets. We are still looking at the face of God. Are we communicating?
So some of us live the way we do not because there are no people with resources around us. Mm-mm. Don't think so. It is because of the discipline that we have received. Amen. Waiting on Him. There have been days when there was nothing at home. Nothing. My wife, nothing. And someone come of his own will, met my wife at a shop, and came to ask for my account number. And my wife said, no, ask him yourself. And there was nothing at home. And the person asking was not an outsider. It was one of the people that we fellowship together. Say, go and ask him yourself. If he will not give you his account number, I can't give you. And there was nothing at home for us to eat. Because we have learned to look to him. Are we still making sense? Prayer that we continue to ask him and not go elsewhere. No backup. We have no other plans. Much has been said on that already. Another means of grace that God provided for us is what? The Word of God. The Word of God. It's another provision made by God to keep us in the faith. The Word of God. Reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, and meditating. Reading, studying, and meditating. Contemplating on every word of this gospel. Amen. A deep reflection. Haven't read, haven't studied. Then meditate. Contemplating on what you have read. Looking at the Word of God to understand what it is saying. Studying the Word of God patiently, reverently, and prayerfully. Not rushing over God's Word. It is not fast food. Sit with it. Amen. Sit with it until you understand what the Word is saying. Amen. Because it is the means of grace of sustaining you. If you don't know what it says, somebody else will come tell you what it is not. And if you believe it, they remove you from him. You fall for their bewitchment. In Joshua 1:8, you know that very well. God said to Joshua concerning the book of the law. He said, it must what? Shall not depart from his mouth. But he shall what? Meditate in it when? The word day and night means what? Frequently, consistently, all the time. Is that what you do? And why are you doing that? That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Why? Said that is when your way. You will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. Do you want to succeed in this work? Pay attention to the word. Do you want to succeed in ministry? Pay attention to the word. This brother had just been brought into the public ministry. And what God has to tell him that, Joe, do you want to succeed? Do you want to end how your disciple ended? Do you want to see me as Moses saw me at the end? God says, see, this is the way. Do you want to end up where those who walked with God ahead of us ended up with God? Then pay attention to the words of this covenant. It's a means of grace. The Bible says we have been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Christ himself, the chief cornerstone in Ephesians 2:20. Let no one remove you from that. Check. If what they are offering you is the apostolic doctrine or some new found theology, alien to the minds of God, check. It is there. God spoke the word and he ensured it was written down. And not just written down, he ensured that the word was preserved. Until now. Why? Because of you. There's one of the hymns I love. Ancient word, ever true, changing me. Changing you. Amen. A part of that hymn said, Matthias' blood stains each page of the scripture. They have died for this faith. Some died so the word of God could reach you. And you become lazy, not studying it. You are looking for someone here and there to tell you what it says. Sit with it. It is the will of your Father sent to you. It is a word from your Father. Written because of you. So that in reading it, you may know his mind. You may know his ways. You may know his will so that you can walk according to them. Why would you love places where the word of God is not being magnified? That is all jamboree. They have time for every other thing, but when it comes for the word of God, they say, we have more time remaining now. Let's rush through the word. And you are still there. They are rushing you to hell. Get out from such place. Amen. The word of God. The means. That's why Christ taught consistently. He concentrated teachings on his disciples. Amen. Sit with the word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, from verse 14, please. 2 Timothy. Amen. Chapter 3, from verse 14. He said, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. Amen. And that from childhood, what has happened to you? You have known the Holy Scriptures. Right from when you were newly born into this kingdom, you should know the Holy Scriptures. From childhood. So don't say I'm still a babe in the faith. I'm newly converted. So, pardon me if I am not exposed to the word of God. Excuse me. From a child. From when you are newly born. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word of God, that you may grow thereby. What is your cravings for? Cravings for what? For meat that perishes? Are you craving for the word of God? See those days? When I do not have up to 3 shirts. I don't have up to 3 good trousers. When I wore one shoe for almost 5 years. And when I managed to buy another one, I was happy that I'll be wearing that to church. God spoke to me and said, go and give it to Pastor Bode Thomas. Me and God really enter something. I rebuke that voice. Get behind me. Emi Timothy wore shoe for years. You didn't replace it. The one I bought, self, not the new one, na Tokumbo, under CMS Bridge for Lagos Island. Now here I buy them. And I was already admiring the shoe that this Sunday, at least, they will see Brahemi wear another shoe. And as I was admiring the shoe and shining it, close to my window, then I heard a voice. Say, give that shoe to Pastor Bode. Say, Pa. Ewagba. Then he left me. He left me. Some minutes later, I was in the toilet. He came again. Say, because I asked you to give shoe, you rebuke me. Amen. Oh God. So reluctantly, I packed the shoe. Sorrowfully. Mournfully. I packed the shoe. And I gave it to my pastor then. He was happy, but I was angry. And in my heart, I was praying the shoe will not size him. And it was as if the man had been spoken to by God too, that I should expect shoe. As soon as I gave him, removed the one he was wearing, he wear that one. And the thing fit him. And that was the end. And I continued wearing the old shoe. I continued. Now, where am I going? One man of God saw me after that. And he said, I see the hand of God upon your life. I want to be one of those that will be part of what God wants to do in your life in the future. I said, can you come to my parish? I just want to give you something at least, so that I too will be a contributor. So I was happy. And then I went. When I got there, I trekked. It was a distance. I did trek. I said, they trek now. Seriously, I trekked. So I went. And the money Pastor Bello gave me, I know their names, I can't forget. I told my wife, my fiancé then, we're still cutting. And she did sponsor me for school. And she did pay my tuition, buy me food. So I did tell her everything. Then, so I told her, say, somebody say, make I come. When I got there, they gave me money. You would expect that I should use that money to buy shoe or clothes. On my way back, the next bus stop, I used it to buy book. After I bought the book, she called me, said, where are you there? I told her where I there. And he said, yeah, me.
ye me that I office here ni. Oh, you don't have clothes, you don't have shoe, and somebody gave you money again. You are investing it, amen, in Christian materials. Why? I must know him. That's where I'm going. This word, I must know. Because if I use and buy clothes then, sir, where will the clothes be now? 4 years in courtship, 15 years already in marriage now. Have you wear that clothes for 15 years? If not food, I take and chop. Alpha. But what I invested it in, it has become a well in me. It's eternal. Amen. The word, sit with it. Go to where it is well served. Amen. Make friends of it. And that from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise. If you don't know the Scripture, you cannot be wise. As touching this salvation, they will defraud you. They will say fake for you. And you will still be referencing them for it, not knowing they are the enemies of your faith. Amen. You know, I said something a couple of weeks ago, and my people at home were saying, Pastor. I said, no. I said, those people that are praying, power in my Father's house, die by fire. I said, if only they know that their pastor that is leading them in that prayer is the power in their Father's house that must die. Is he not a strong man in your Father's house? Somebody leading you to pray against the will of God. So if there's any power that must die, it is them. And I do not mean their physical death, don't get me wrong. But God should actually cut them off so that the church could rest. Amen. So such men, if you don't know the Scriptures, you can't be wise unto salvation. They'll be asking you to bring coconut, bring cutlass service, broom service, and all of those nonsense. Go to your landlord house, pack the sand and come. And you are doing it. Amen. Why? Because you do not know the Holy Scripture. The word of God will secure you from those things as you settle with it. Are we making sense? The number three means of grace provided by God. Church meetings. Amen. Church what? Church meetings. The fellowship of the believers. Can we look at Hebrews chapter 10? Pastor, I'm running. I don't want to, what happened in the morning to happen to me this time. Hebrews chapter 10. From verse 23, please. Hebrews 10 from verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our hope without wavering. Thank you, Lord. For he who promises is faithful. And let us consider one another. In order to do what? To stir up love and good works. Amen. 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. Church gatherings. You know, at the time when this word came to these people, it was at the time also when their faith was under attack. Do you know that? If you are conversant with the book of Hebrews, you will know that it was at the time when many are the verge of going back. Contemplating that. Does it worth it? So this is one of the means supplied them by God. That see, it is not time that you now forsake one another. Say, gather the more. Gather. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Satan loves to find you alone. In isolation. You know, Pastor said something in the morning. The first session. Say, Satan knows what he will do to you to overcome you. He will lure you out of the Father's cover. Amen. That was what he did to the prodigal, even though it was a parable. He took him away from the cover of the Father. Say to your Father, give me what belongs to me. He thought on his own he could survive. Satan, so he lured the boy out. And the Father obliged him. One of the things, as I said, God, please, do not leave me to my own will. Whatever it is, don't answer me. Because I will be finished. Amen. He allowed him. But see what happened to him. He would even eat what the swines are eating. They wouldn't allow him even to. He stooped that low to feed with the swine. That is how devilish the devil is. He would not even allow him to eat the food of the swine. And the boy said, what have I brought myself into? Amen. So Satan loves. So when you begin to hear folks that, what the church has become today and all of that, it's not that bad that you will not still be able to find the company of believers indeed to fellowship with. So don't fall for I'm alone now in my house reading. Until get here. Satan, until get here. Don't fall for it. This is the word of God. Exalting one another when we are together. Look at the act of the apostles. What were they doing? Amen. Ever gathering. Daily. They know there is strength in that. The thing that would overcome you, when we are together, we are able to face it. So don't fall for it. Can we finish it? Verse 26. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, continues, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of 2-3 witnesses of how much worse punishment. You can finish the rest on your own because of my time. Amen. In Acts 2:42, another scripture reference. Acts 2:42. The Bible told us how the early church began. How they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. This passage of the scripture is showing you the four things the church must continue in till Christ will return. And this will form the basis of our fellowship together. If what you are founded on is not the apostles' doctrine, I share no fellowship with you. If you change it, then me and you are not on the same page. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. 1, fellowship. 2, breaking of bread. And in prayers. We must continue in that. It's a means of grace for us. Fellowship. Fellowship. Together. Koinonia. Fellowship. The assembling of ourselves is a means of grace. Iron sharpens iron. When we come together, amen. He is in our midst. Has he not said so? He will be with us wherever it is that we meet. Number 4. It looks more like the number 3. It is company of believers indeed. Being in the company of who? Disciples indeed. Who are your friends? When the church meeting is not good, when we are not in church meeting, in whose company are you always found? Who are your best friends? Where do you always go? Where do you always visit? With whom do you always discuss, share? Company of believers indeed is another means of grace that God has given to us. Psalm number 1 verse 1 talks about that man. Say, blessed is that man who does not do what? Who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Where do you walk? It's just verse 1 that I need. Where do you go? With whom do you converse every now and then? Are you in the company of believers indeed? How come that when we find you, brother, how does find you with that brother, that sister, that is not a Christian? Why are you comfortable always in the company of such people? How? Amen. People who are not going to the same place you are going, who are not minding the same thing that you are minding. Your purpose in life is not the same. Your goal is not the same. The company of believers indeed. Remember Daniel? Time will not permit us to go into that. Daniel chapter 1, Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 3. Godly companion help those guys. They work in diaspora. And you know we are in diaspora too. Because this place is not our home. We are in diaspora, just like them in Babylon. Beginning from chapter 1, when the king said they should select princes. Look at those guys, they were princes. But yet, they do not forget the trainings from home. They beg the kings. Still, what I see, we cannot defile ourselves with the king's meat. Just give us ordinary vegetables and water. Amen. Godly companies, four of them, they were resolute. And see what the outcome was. In chapter number 2, was when the king had a dream and he was testing his magicians. They will not tell you the dream. You tell me the dream and you also tell me the interpretation. They couldn't. What did you find there again? Daniel and his brothers, godly companion. Chapter number 3, that was when the king set up his image that he wants them to bow to, the three boys, godly companion. Are you in the company of fellow believers all of the time that can encourage you in this way of the Lord? Amen. That you are seeing the things in the same way. You are minding the same thing. It's a means of grace. Who are your friends? Who are your confidants? Amen. Take note of that. It's another means of grace. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. When you read from verse number 1 to the end. Amen. But if you take it, I think from, can we have verse number 7 of that 1 Corinthians 5? Amen. Give us 8, please. 9. All right. Say, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Amen. Verse 10. Say, yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters. Since then, you will need to go out of this world. See, what it means here is not close affinity. It's only saying that what? You are in school now, isn't it? Your school where you are, is the only believers you have there? You have classmates who are not believers, isn't it? Aha. So you can't run away from them. That's what this place is saying. It's not talking about close relationship. Amen. But now here, who you should not get close to? Verse 12. Okay, 11. Say, but now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother. If anyone call himself a Christian, and you find a brother to be a sexually immoral person, you find him to be covetous, you have known Brother Yemi to be an idolater, you have known Pastor Yemi to be a reviler, a drunkard, or an extortioner, he said, don't even eat with him. Can you see how serious this matter is? Means of grace. He calls himself a brother. Amen. But what's in Tababa Jebu? He's playing lotto. Amen. And he's a serial lotto player. Amen. What are we still doing together? He's an extortioner. He's sexually immoral. He's covetous. You see why we say, see, it is not everybody who bears the name Christian that we can flock together. Amen. How do you live? What are your values? What are your pursuits? Amen. So, this is an instruction that you are not even to eat with such a person. Go ahead, 12. For what have I to do with judging those who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? If the children of the devil will not behave like devil, they are bastards. Abby? So what do you expect of those outside? Why we were there too? Abby? The way they behave is the way we are behaving. So if you claim that you have come to Christ, then please, there's a way we live in Zion. There's a way we live here. We are not in the kingdom without principle, without custom, without rules. Anything doesn't go here. There's a standard. And you must conform to it. The grace of God has appeared unto all men. And what did he teach us? He taught us to deny ungodliness. So how can you still be found romancing ungodliness? Eh? You know, it can fly. Say, don't eat with them. But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves that evil person. 1 Corinthians 15. You can read the entire from verse number 1. But you know, in verse number 33, if I'm not mistaken, can you give me 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33?
You are familiar with this, isn't it? Do not be deceived, Abby. Evil company corrupt good habits. But you know what some of you think this place is saying is not what he's saying. Do you know the context that brought about this statement? It was because some people were already teaching that there was no resurrection. Can you imagine? They said there was no resurrection. And Paul said, So it was in the bid to correct that and to establish that truth again, that Christ indeed died and rose on the third day. That Paul said, see, you have been company with people who are teaching nonsense. Their evil communication has corrupted you. You believe rightly before. But since you begin to walk with these people that tells you that sin is dead. Amen. They told you sin is dead. Are you familiar with that? Say sin is dead. Amen. They tell you God cannot kill. It is Satan who kills. God doesn't. And all of manner. So when you begin to move with these people who teaches these things, it's corrupted your faith. So be careful who you mingle with in the name of Christianity. Check them well. Run. Should you realize they have departed from what the scripture, but how would you know if you do not yourself take heed to the word of God and know what it says? Amen. The greatest means of discerning false preacher is knowledge of God's word. It is not discerning of spirits. Amen. The greatest and surest means of discerning a false teacher, it is what? The word of God. Once you know this word, Obeni, Waamu, you will catch him that, hey, sorry, come back here. That's not what the word says. Good company of disciples indeed. I have two more. Amen. Lord help me. The next one is godly and sound elders or overseers. Amen. Godly and sound elders or overseers. Godly. By elders, I'm not just talking about holding age. I mean pastors, elders, as the scripture called them, or overseers, or bishops. It's another means of grace that God has given to the church so that when he comes, he will find us in the faith. When you are under such people, in Jeremiah chapter number 3, verse 15, Jeremiah 3, verse 15, God said, I will give them pastors after my heart. Who will do what? Who will feed you with knowledge and understanding? That's the promise of God for this time that we are in. Say, I will give you shepherds according to my heart. And what will they do? They will feed you with knowledge and understanding. They will teach you right. They will equip you in such a manner that none will be able to take you away from Christ. So it's another means of grace that God has given to the church. And that's why not just anybody is qualified to be your pastor. It's sad that that title has been bastardized these days. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry is a pastor, is a bishop, is all of that. Neglecting what the scripture even says in the appointment of these people. 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, the pre-qualifications are there. But many churches are not taking it to that anymore. Just look at him, he's charismatic, he has gifts, he's all of that. And we put him there. We are in error. And we are endangering the lives of the flock. Amen. So God did that. Gave us godly and sound elders and bishops in the church as a means of sustaining us so that we will not go out of the faith. Amen. In John 21, when you read from verse 15 to 17, thrice you found Christ there concentrating on Peter. Peter, do you love me more than this? Say, Lord, you know, Jesus said to him, feed my lamb. The second time, Jesus asked him, do you love me more than this? Peter said, you know, Jesus said, feed my sheep. The third time again, Jesus asked, Peter said, God, you know that I love you now. And Jesus again said, feed my sheep. Amen. In fulfillment of his promise, the pastors are to feed us. The elders, the overseers in the church, that is their duty. They are to feed us with the word of God, not to amuse us because we are not goats. It is goats that you amuse, but sheep are fed. That's the word. Feed them with knowledge. Teach them the word of God. Concentrate prayer on them. That's one of the things A faithful bishop will do, just as Christ did. He will concentrate prayer on the church, on the flock that God has placed under him. He sees as a betrayal of trust for him to come and stand before you to teach the word of God when he had not first stood before God on your behalf to talk to him concerning your life. He's fulfilling all of that. That's why I said earlier on, concentrating that prayer. And is faithful to the word of God so that it goes there and feed you with the meat that will sustain you in life and in ministry. That's why God gave them. Not celebrity pastors telling you about sports and all of the nonsense that is going on in the world. We saw in Acts chapter number 2 from verse 17. Acts 20, 17 to 28. We can't read because of my time. Amen. We saw what Brother Paul did here. He sent for the elders of the church at Ephesus from Miletus. And the charge he gave them, he told them, they have taught you publicly from house to house the space of 3 years. I have not failed to declare to you the whole counsel of God. So that if anybody is lost, they are innocent of their blood. How many pastors can say that? I say to my people that if I pastor you for 3 years and you are still running after me, the pastor feed me, my pastor, a mosquito bites me, pastor cockroach is doing what? I say you are a goat. Yes, now. Jesus taught the disciples for 3 years. I saw Paul here also said in 3 years. So if I am not joking in ministry, faithful to the word of God, faithful in prayer, 3 years under me as a pastor, and you are still running up and down, you are a goat. You can't be a sheep. 3 years is enough that you're already grounded. That if we leave you alone, if God called you into that work, you should be able to pastor yourself. Because in 3 years, this man will arrive to pastor. Concentrated teachings under faithful elders. They fed them with the word of God. And Paul charged them. He said, take heed to the flock of God over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers. It's a responsibility. Huge one. God gave us elders for that purpose, so that we will not get lost. Are we still making sense? Amen. So many scriptures to consider. And I have one more point. And I still have. You can write this down. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 12. Write it down. Amen. Titus chapter 1 from verse 4 to 14. Amen. Hebrews 13 verse number 17. And also 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 4. Then the final one I have here is the Spirit of God himself. The means of grace. Amen. The means of grace. The Spirit of God himself given to us. Just as Jesus said in John 14, from verse 16 to 19, I already mentioned that. That I will not leave you comfortless. Amen. I will send another helper. He will be with you. Amen. That's in John 14, from verse number 16 to 19. And also, Romans chapter number 8, verse 26 to 27. That Spirit of God that helps our infirmities. Amen. That Spirit of God that helps our weaknesses is a means of grace to sustain us. Because God knows that on our own we can't survive. But he's there. The counselor, the helper, our aider, our succorer. Amen. Our helper. He gave him to us another means of grace so that we will remain in the faith till he comes. God has made adequate provisions for our sustenance. Amen. I am trusting that the grace for us to fulfill our part will be given to us day by day in the precious name of Jesus. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you inheritance among them that are sanctified. God bless you, church. In Jesus' name.